move on to the report and possible discussion on pension advisor report by RBC International Consulting, Institutional Consulting Group.
It's John Peck.
I guess I will go then.
You just thought you weren't going.
Yeah, that's right. I believe everybody has a copy of the quarterly report. Now, a couple of things are, I'd say, a little different than what Jeff just gave you. We're talking calendar quarters is how we do all the performance. And I guess an overview, you know, that this quarter that just ended was another good quarter. In fact, you know, if you look at how the market has performed since its low, well, last March, you know, the 55 weeks, the market was up 77% without even a 10% decline. So that's very, very strong. I think we've only seen that a few other times, and those were actually back in the 30s. For the quarter, we saw the S&P up 5.4%. Small caps led large caps with Russell 2000 up almost 9%. And of course, we're seeing T-bills at about zero. They call T-bills the risk-free return. I heard someone call it the return-free risk. And the question everybody asks is sort of, where are we going from here? And I wish I could tell you with a great deal of clarity, but I think one thing that I saw someone talking, and they said, they likened this to a relay race. They said, you know, when the economy was in such bad shape, the lending markets were frozen up, there really wasn't any credit out there, the government had to step in and re-stimulate the economy. And now what we have to see is, if you will, this is a relay race, the government handing the baton off to the corporate side. And it's going to be a little tricky. If they do it too fast, it might impact the economy trying to come out of this recession. If they do it too slowly, we probably have some pretty high inflation. So again, there's still a lot to be answered out there. And as Jeff said, though, we have seen corporations reporting very good earnings thus far this quarter, 82% reporting positive earnings surprise. That's very good. If you go to page 3, you can see the returns for the various market sectors and various asset classes for the quarter and for the year. I guess you could say what a difference a year makes. All these lines are above the bar. Everything's going positive, which is certainly a pleasant change. If you skip over to page 6, you can see the overall portfolio return for the quarter, year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years versus the benchmark. Now, the benchmark is going to start to change now that we have, if you will, implemented some policy changes and diversified the equity portfolio. As of right now, it is still the same benchmark comparing it to the S&P 500 and the bar cap Gov Corporate Index. But as we go forward, we will see some modifications in that benchmark. Page 7 addresses the overall allocation of the portfolio. And of course, you can see that we added the international and added the small mid equity at the end of this last quarter. Page eight, again, addresses more or less what we saw on the previous page as far as the overall allocation. And if you go to page nine, you can see the returns for the various parts of the portfolio. And of course, for the part of the portfolio that the new areas, the Royce Premier and the Harbor International, we're showing what that mutual fund earned for those periods of time. That's not what, you know, we didn't have it then, but again, what we're trying to do is see quickly, you know, how are those investments performing over long, yeah, long.
John, when did you finally get invested in these other allocations? we haven't got a full quarter here, do we?
Oh, no. No, like, it was...
A couple weeks, a month?
It was about...
March 7th, and this is as of March 31st.
Yeah, so it's 7, 8 days, or 20 days.
Yeah, that's it.
But this is the quarter return. This is time-weighted rather than our...
This is the quarter. This is the period from, you know, December 31st to March 31st. Okay. We can take a few minutes and talk about the, if you will, the underlying components of the portfolio. And page 10 is the BlackRock equity portfolio. I think some things that are, I think, worth talking about and pointing out on the BlackRock portfolio is, you know, this portfolio generally doesn't have any large sector overweights, and that's by design. They're not going to make any big overweights or underweights in the sector. Now, there are some overweights, but they're not as dramatic as you'll see in some cases. I think their overall performance was aided by good selection in the healthcare. It was hurt, as Jeff said, by their underweight in financials, and actually underweight, I think, in the banks, which did very well the last part of the quarter. Also, they were hurt by some of the overall utility holdings. And then, again, I think, as Jeff said, their underweight in financials is really where they plan on being for a while, sounds like. If we look at their performance, you can go over to page 12, and we can see the performance for the quarter. And again, let me just take a minute, because, you know, you're starting to get used to the reports, and it's helpful to maybe spend a minute on it. If you look at that part at the top, we're looking at returns for a quarter, year-to-date, which, of course, is the quarter, 1, 3, and 5-year periods, all ending March 31st. You can see for the quarter, the returns, 4.6%. These are net returns. Compared to the S&P 500 of 5.4, and compared to the median of the large cap core universe of 5.0, slightly below the benchmark. If we look at it over 1 year and 3 years, slightly below the benchmark and the peer group. However, over a 5-year period, the overall returns are in the top third. And if we look at it down below on the annual basis, really the year that was the toughest year, which was 2008, on a relative basis, they outperformed about 88% of managers in that peer group. So over a reasonable period of time, over 5 years, the overall returns are in line with the competition. Now, I think it might be helpful to spend just a moment looking at the new the newer investments you go to page 14, we can talk about the Royce Premier. The Royce Premier is our small to mid-cap portfolio. Has a value bias. If we look at the portfolio, generally not a high turnover portfolio, buying securities in the 500 million to 2.5 billion range. And if you go over and look at the performance on page 16, you can see for the most recent quarter, and I think this goes along with something that Jeff was saying, generally the higher quality, even in smaller cap, have not performed as well as the lower quality securities. They were up almost 7, or we were up almost, that portfolio was up almost 7%, underperforming the index and the median. If we look at it over longer periods of time, again, very, very good performance. If we look at the value add on 2008, it was well above the benchmark, 2009, above the peer group. One thing, I went back and saw some interesting statistics. And if you look at rolling five-year periods updated monthly as of the end of end of March, it said that over the last 5 years, we saw only over the last 10, it was about 150 rolling five-year periods. There was only one of those five-year periods that they actually delivered a negative return. So again, very consistent in small cap numbers. If we go over and look at our larger cap international, which on page 18, this portfolio is the Harbor International. Again, if we look at some, I think one thing that's important and goes along with what Jeff was saying, the emerging markets, page 18 down at the bottom, you see that was 21% of the fund. And if we look at performance on page 20, they were up. The international portfolio was up 0.6 for the quarter. However, if we look at it for 1 year, it's up 64%. If we look at the overall performance over five-year periods, over moving one-year periods, it's been very, very consistent. And then if we look at the fixed income performance, the fixed income portfolio over the last 3 years, 5 years has performed above the index. Again, we saw a good performance in 08, which gave it up a little bit in 09 because of the lower quality portfolio was running. Really, if you look at our portfolio right now, I think we are well diversified. I think the, if you will, performance, I don't see that there's any issues. I think we have done, as a committee, sort of the heavy lifting by putting the investment policy in place, making the equity allocation changes, further diversifying the equity portfolio. And what I think we should do going forward right now for the next couple of quarters is really take a look at, if you will, everything else in our portfolio. Understand, the fixed income, understand the large cap core, look at our, understand the fees that we're paying and all the relationships. I don't think that there's any any problems, I'm just saying we ought to document it all. And I guess in starting that, one of the things I thought we'd do, since we've just moved to several mutual funds, the question was, and the answer's good, but the question was, should we be in a mutual fund or a separate account with our large cap equity? So what we did is we went in and we said, look, the overall performance we hadn't had an issue with. BlackRock has done a good job. So the question would be, would we be better off having BlackRock in a mutual fund in the large cap equity area versus our separate account? And we just did a real quick analysis. And quite frankly, we are better off in looking in having the separate account, you know, including trading costs, et cetera, than if we were in the mutual fund. You know, and so if we look at this over, take it and pass it. Again, we're not trying to say, is there someone that's performed better? That's always history, and you can always find that. We're saying, do they have a process in place that's been consistent? And the answer is yes. And we said, they really have a mutual fund that looks very similar to this, very similar to this. And we said, from a overall portfolio cost perspective, are we better off in the mutual fund? And if you look at this over, I'd say most any time period, or over longer time periods, the 3 and 5 year periods, you're much better off in the separate account. I mean, in the separate account than a mutual fund.
What's the benchmark and comparability or comparison here, John? What mutual fund are we looking at?
Well, we're looking at BlackRock's large cap core mutual fund.
Okay.
We said, I'm not saying we needed to do a search because we didn't have a problem with it. The question is, from an overall portfolio structuring and ease of administration, we went to mutual funds because in the last step, because that was easier for from an administrative perspective and lower cost. So we said, all right, is there any value in looking the same way with BlackRock in a mutual fund versus a separate account? And the answer is really no. You know, what has happened in this portfolio has been in line with and generally a little bit better than what their mutual funds done.
Were any other mutual funds used instead of theirs?
No, we didn't, because the question was not, are we dissatisfied with the performance? Because their performance is in line with the benchmark. The performance, we said, what our policy says, we're looking for 5-year returns above peer group and our benchmark. And in this case, they're doing that. We could go back and historically find someone that's done a better, had a higher return in the past, but you know, it is, do we have any confidence or a high level of confidence that it will be in the future? And I would say if it ain't broke, you know, there's no need to make a change. That wasn't the purpose to look at someone else. The purpose was, format that we're using, is the product that we use at BlackRock the most efficient for us? And quite frankly, it did work out to be, from a cost perspective and return perspective, the best. I guess this is one of those things you just kind of put in the file. I don't think there's any action necessary. I just wanted to, John and I have been talking about stepping back and looking at other parts of the portfolio, and we said, well, this will be the first one. Now, going forward, what we will be doing is quarter by quarter looking at the other parts of the portfolio, just so that we understand from a cost perspective and from performance, from, if you will, if there's any other way of meeting our objectives.
Would there be any difference between the two, the mutual fund versus the managed account? when it comes time to do the distributions to pay the retirement people and all?
Well, the answer is, there's always a transaction cost in either one of them. It's just a little more visible in the separate account. But we've had transaction costs in a separate account over the last, you know, 5 years.
But in terms of balancing the portfolio, because they're going to buy percentage in the mutual fund, which would also be by?
Yeah, and, I mean, but over the mutual fund, you're spreading it over a much, much, much larger. And I think what your question you're asking is going to be answered as we step back and say, all right, what are the other components of the cost? What are our custody? What are our trading costs? And try to, you know, make sure, have our arms around that. But that will be answered as we go through the rest of this.
Any questions? Were you finished? I'm sorry.
No, I had one other thing
okay,
to point out.
Please.
This is something I've discussed with John. Our practice, our group, is actually going to be moving from RBC the middle of next month. We're going to be moving from RBC to a firm out of Raleigh, North Carolina, Cap Trust. The reason we're doing it, it's a firm that we feel is going to be able to give us a lot more, and you, a lot more support, and that they have a much larger group that really just focuses on the fiduciary market, talking about research for the various types of investments, ranging from equities to fixed income to stable value. They have a group that really focuses on provider research, custodians, record keepers. So I think that the resources that we're going to have will be much greater. And this is something that, if you will, RBC is all on board with. They have set it up that what we're going to be doing is actually doing an assignment of the RBC contract. No changes in the contract or fees. It's going to be everything where it said RBC. It will be, if you will, Cap Trust after the middle of next month. I've got some information here on the firm. I would like to leave that with you and, of course, answer any questions that you might have.
I have a question. You said that BlackRock's doing a good job, and based upon the 5 year, I can see that.
Yeah,
that's true. But based upon all the earlier,
on the shorter term, especially the last year. But no, let me listen to your question before I give you an answer.
The other terms are not indicating such, but we're focusing on the 5 year. But those earlier terms are adding up to a new 5 year. So they're important.
They are important.
And so what do you say about that as far as BlackRock's performance?
No, and I think that's a very good point. And what I would say is, let's step back and look at, as opposed to, you know, a 3 year period, let's look at some non-overlapping periods so that we can see the consistency or lack thereof in returns. And the thing that, if you will, jumps off the page at me is, if you look at this sheet, or if you look in the report, is 2008. The performance was very, very strong in 2008. Not very strong. It just lost less money in 2008. And in 2008, our... let's find here. 2008, page 12, they were in the 12th percentile of large cap core managers, which is really the way the portfolio that they have run historically has been very large companies that have more predictability, more stability. Last year, they had a terrible year.
They got hammered last year.
They really did get hammered. And you know, they do have although I said they don't dramatically overweight or underweight, they do have an underweight in financials, and that has hurt them. And that's something that we're going to have to watch.
It's hurt us, yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, let me make sure, what you're saying is they lost 5% less than the median in 08.
Mm-hmm.
But with, when you look at the 1 year, we've made, than the S&P, we've made 13% less.
Mm-hmm.
So going the other way, we're 13% behind. And the others are even much higher. No, the median's 48, so about 12%.
No, in absolute numbers, we gave up more in 2009 than we gained in 2008. A lot of what we saw in 2009, and I don't want to keep rehashing it, because I'm not here to defend BlackRock, but I'm here to try to represent the numbers fairly, and I don't want us to be in a game of musical chairs of buying high and selling low, but trying to dissect their performance and understand it. And what we saw from others, and what we saw from others was last year's market, a higher quality portfolio, underperformed and underperformed dramatically. Companies that had earnings underperformed dramatically. As we start to come out of this, and that's not that unusual at a market bottom. As we start to come out of this, we would expect to see investors pay for predictability in earnings. And at that point, we would expect to see a BlackRock portfolio start to if you will, narrow the spread. A couple of things. If we saw changes in the way they're managing their portfolio, that would be a bad sign. If we saw their strategy not begin to, if you will, turn the corner, that's a bad sign also. But I think right now, it's continue to watch it.
Thank you.
I have a question. If you'll go over the move again.
Yes, I will.
It was not on the agenda. I didn't know if it was. Does it rise to the level of an agenda item?
This had happened after we had sent the agenda out, our conversation just recently. So what John did was just bring it, just add it sort of to his report, which is the agenda. I'm just sort of add it to the end of his report, which he did. I don't believe, well. So there's
can
no, there's
you explain
no
it to be a
yes,
little
I can.
More, a little more depth?
Let me go into some detail on it. A couple of things. Recently, I've had conversations with RBC and said, from two perspectives. One, we felt we needed to have greater support for our institutional clients like BRA, and I think you've seen the list of our clients. We have about 25 clients and work with about a little over $10 billion in assets. So there's a lot of demand. The other aspect is our group, and I think you know our group out of Dallas provides all of this research and all the analysis. And of course RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, is a very large organization. Today in the financial world, as I think everybody over on that corner will attest, is not really run by business managers or finance. It's run by compliance and risk managers. So for them to actually feel good about all their compliance on a smaller group, it's more difficult for RBC. So we agreed for us to step out. And I said, John, look the market over and try to find someone an organization that would be best for your clients. And that's what we did. And again, this is something that's completely with the blessing of RBC. We're not doing anything. I'm not, if you will, interfering with a contract or anything. As I said, they've actually sent out an assignment, which they are agreeing to. You would still be serviced by me. We'd still have our group in Dallas. So basically, as I see this, it's a win-win. You've got us in Dallas performing our same services, plus we've got the resources of a larger organization.
What's the name of the new one?
It's CAP Trust.
CAP Trust.
John, I know it's been a timing situation, but with this change, can the reports be prepared maybe sooner and be available before the board meeting?
Well, again, I think when we're looking at the 26th, 26 days after the end of the quarter, we can get performance. It's the other aspects of it. And if you would, you know, we always will do a flash report as far as performance at the end of the quarter. And that we can get out. It's having, especially when you talk about mutual funds, getting the portfolios. We might have been able to get the portfolios. We hadn't had them for a week. And if you would like, I don't know what proper protocol is. We can't get it to John when your packet, by the time your packet goes out.
Right, but we could still put it in. You could still have a few days.
I mean, we could send it out electronically. If that would help. And I agree with you. I like to read through things before and have some time to think about it.
Well, there's a lot of information here, and to try to decipher it in 5 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it is, you just can't get there.
No, I completely agree with you. And again, I hope you understand where we're coming from.
No, there
are two solutions. One, we can get performance. That's not an issue. But I think more important or equally important to the performance is, you know, how did they make the performance and you know, what's happening in the portfolio, and that takes longer.
Yeah. Well, you know, when BlackRock was doing it all, I mean, it was fairly simple, but now that we've got other parties involved,
that's right,
different reporting periods and everything else, plus the
period we were reporting. See, BlackRock was reporting on February 28th, and now we've moved this up to get more current, which I think is helpful to take it to March 31st. But we'll work this next quarter.
We'll get
some information to you, and since we are electronically diligent, we can get it out to you. It'll probably be last week. We'll probably get it maybe earlier, middle part of last week or something, to get some stuff put in your diligent.
We could get it out a few days, 5 days before the meeting, probably six.
That's fine. Yeah.
It give you something to read the night before. And if that worked, do you think that'll work?
Yeah, I mean, first view when you get to the meeting is not very helpful.
I completely agree.
Okay, that's a temporary.
Yes.
And we wanted to move on. Do we want to talk about making that change in the practice of reporting with BlackRock?
You're talking about, yes. I think they've discussed, as far as going forward, whether Jeff and them, I think that worked well today as far as, I don't know, it's up to Jeff whether they need to come in the future.
Let me just say for the board members, the committee members, it's been proposed that BlackRock Merrill Lynch not come on a regular basis as they have been, because it's duplicating reports. And if they could come whenever they're called, if there's something in particular that we need to have discussed before the committee. So do we need to have a motion or anything to that effect?
So.
Just change the methodology, the practice of reporting? Okay.
That's it.
Okay.